started working for InterVarsity 8 years ago, I'd never heard of the IFES. I see some people here that are pretty new. So if you don't know, it's the International Fellowship of Evangelical Students, and there's member movements in probably a number of countries that Terry's going to tell us. I think about 140.
155 currently.
155, and we're just one of the members of that movement, so in case you didn't know. And when I saw the topic, it was entirely appropriate that you'd be speaking about that because they host an IFES potluck. How long have you been doing that?
We started after the United States hosted the World Assembly in 1991. And I said, why aren't we doing something in Madison?
So since 1991, they host a monthly potluck to get people together, share a meal, and pray for the IFES. So it seemed entirely natural that Terry Morrison would talk to us today about the IFES.
Thank you, ma'am.
It is a privilege to talk about IFES. They're just absolutely mind-blowing people. If you ever get a chance to hang around with any IFES staff, please do it. I recently had the privilege of being with David Aserno, whom I think many of you know from Urbana and so forth, being a couple weeks in the north of Scotland, at St. Andrews, suffering for Jesus. Very pleasant time with world leaders of IFES, leaders of the national movements, regional secretaries, and the International Executive Committee. So it's out of that that I wanted to share some thoughts with you. I wondered if any of you remembered where the first recorded gathering of students was to study the scriptures and pray. Anyone remember the history of that? Daniel and his three friends were graduates of the University of Manners and Court Procedures in Jerusalem, and then they were in grad school in Babylon, learning a new language, new cultures, and so forth, and they were scared to death. It was a hostile environment. So what did they do? They studied the scriptures and prayed. Well, since that time, God has been moving among students all over the place. In the medieval histories, we know that when Erasmus' Greek New Testament was published, what was that, 16th century, there began to be groups of students meeting clandestinely and often against the wishes of the rectors of the university to study the scriptures and to pray about what God would have them do. And this has come in waves over the years. In the middle of the 19th century, almost simultaneously, Dwight L. Moody had a group of people who met together at Northfield, his place in New England, and the students. And they felt God stirring amongst them. At the same time, the Cambridge Intercollegiate Christian Union, CICU, came into being somewhere in the middle of the 19th century. And that flowed out of an earlier event that fits right into our theme, the Haystack Prayer Meeting. Have you noticed the, is it still there, the tracing in the room in there, which the wife of a former president made of the stone up there in Massachusetts, is it? Where a number of students got together and prayed to find out what God might want to do with them in his world. And out of that came, in a sense, the modern American missions movement. Well, that stirred. In the middle 19th century, we had student groups coming together in Norway, on the continent, in Britain, and the U.S. Out of that grew the student volunteer movement, which by the time it reached its peak, 1910, somewhere in there, I think they said 50,000 university students from around the world had gone into foreign missionary service somewhere or into inner city work. So God did a mighty thing. Unfortunately, and this is a warning to InterVarsity, the leadership of these groups ignored what they said they believed, their doctrinal statement. That was old-fashioned, fogies. We young people didn't bother with that. We had good things to do. And before too long, those who really trusted Christ separated themselves from the student volunteer movement, which became by then the student Christian movement, because it was drifting away from God's purposes. In fact, it became the World Student Christian Fellowship, and in my time, in the 60s, the World Student Christian Fellowship voted itself out of existence. Its work had been done. There was the United Nations, after all. That was their vision, because they lost their anchor in the scriptures. But the other groups were faithful to what God had said, faithful to the stream of people from the 19th century who trusted God's word, gave their lives to him, and went on. And There were a successive, I think, four successive meetings of European and some American delegates to conferences carrying on this world vision amongst university students. The last one was 1939. They met in Cambridge, I think. And they said to each other, because they knew what was around the corner in World War II, if we live through this, let's get together again and reform a God-centered, Bible-based world missions movement for university students. Some of them did live through the war. In fact, some snuck out communications with each other. The result was, in 1946, representatives of those met in Oxford and began the International Fellowship of Evangelical Students. They were invited to Harvard next year to formally organize with a board and all that kind of stuff. 1947 was the birth of IFES. There were 10 member nations at the beginning, the largest of which was China IBCF. Before you guys pass off the scene, China IBCF will be back in whatever its name is. It'll be back in IFES, I predict. So God launched it. God blessed it. From 10 nations today, it's around 155. That's a pretty impressive growth. And I've put over there a folder, a poster rather, that the IFES people in our international office in Oxford put together about living stones. You know that passage in Peter, you have been made living stones? In fact, it's here in the center of this. And I can't read it all, but you can read it later. It reminds you that we are God's living stones to build his building. And students are that important segment all over the world. But in this living stones vision is the new energizing from our new general secretary, a man from Francophone Africa, Daniel Bourdonnais, has become our, what we call the general secretary, the leader internationally, and he is energizing the troops with a whole new vision. And he chose this passage from 1 Peter about living stones to be the focus. Some from the U.S. movement went to Malaysia this past spring to the leaders. Alec was there, and I forget who else was there, and he's probably reported on that to you, about the wonderful time that the national leaders, we call them general secretaries of the national movements, all met together and considered how God wants to move the student work around the world in this way. And they came up with a number of items which I'd like to read to you off this poster. Well, actually, they're on the slide. Why don't you put that up, and everyone can read, and I can stay close to Gordon's recording device. You may remember this face, if you can recognize it, Femi Adeleye. He's been here a number of times. Others who were at this meeting with us in June in Scotland and were at the Living Stones meeting in Malaysia were Gideon Paramalam. He's been here at our functions. Gideon Young from Hong Kong and Asia has been here. Let's see who else. Femi has been here. Danielle has been here. Vinoth Ramachandra from South Asia has been here. So a number of these world leaders, some of you have met over the years, they met and reviewed this 1 Peter 2 Living Stones vision. These are the components of the Living Stones that we're building the international student ministry around. Communicating the good news of Jesus Christ is first. Next is strengthening leadership and formation. We have what we call training programs in the U.S. You know the name Samuel Escobar? Sammy was a leader of IFES movement in Peru and then became General Secretary of Latin America and has been a senior member of IFES ever since. He's now teaching theology in Spain. Sammy said to us, you train dogs, you form people. IFES should not have training programs. It should have formación, Spanish-speaking programs. So we don't train, we do formación in IFES. Think about it. Strengthening leadership is the second thing. Promoting student-graduate integration. Now, when they use the word graduate, they don't mean graduate students. They mean what we call alumni. All the rest of the world refers to people who graduated from university with a bachelor's degree as graduates. They have graduated. We call them alumni. Building sustainable support, addressing current global issues, engaging the university. I'll say a word about each of those. The first one is quite obvious, but what we're discovering is as American commercial culture or Northern Atlantic commercial culture spreads around the world, many traditional ways of communicating just don't work. You know, the students around the world are listening to our music, watching our videos, our very television programs. They're on the internet with our stuff, our junk, all the time. So we have to find new ways. And God is developing all kinds of new and old evangelism methods. You know, in Europe, Lindsey Brown, who was the General Secretary for many years of IFES, has been charged with the responsibility of raising up evangelists. And there they mean proclamation evangelists, people who will stand on a street corner or in a student union or in a big gathering and preach the gospel. Odd thing, right? But it's bearing fruit, and God has given, the number he was asking for was 50, and I think they're close to that number. So they're experimenting with lots of different ways. In the UK and increasingly in other parts of Europe, the chief evangelism method right now is to distribute Gospels of Mark. Nice covers, the most current translation in that language group, having trained the Christian students on how to use these in evangelistic Bible studies. And this is having a remarkable fruit all around the continent, and it's producing a lot of very interesting discussions amongst the university leaders and faculty. I've tried and tried to get our folks to see the value of that, but it never caught on here. I don't know why. Strengthening leadership and formation. You know, in many of these movements, Shirley and I were at Cedar Campus for two camps, and there is a associate regional secretary for Francophone Africa who's working in the kitchen up there, just, I suppose, to improve his English and get some idea of American IFES. Mombino is his first name. I can't remember his last name. He's a typical West African young person, and he looks like he's about 13, right? And he's responsible for developing communication in all of French-speaking Africa. What is it, 17 nations, 19 nations, something like that? And fundraising. That's very typical. Very young people, just out of university, are exercising immense leadership levels. But they need training, they need formation, they need help. So the movement has recognized that. Folks don't know how to run an office. They've never done anything like that. They don't know how to raise money. They don't know how to respond to people who do give them money. A lot of stuff. So we're ramping up our training programs. Building sustainable support comes right out of that. There have been IFES folks coming through the U.S. over the years because there's so many people from their countries who've come and settled down in the U.S. and are now making incredible salaries compared to what they would make back home. Many movements tap them for support of their student work. There'll be many more IFES people coming through the U.S. in years to come to help raise support, but they need to figure that out. Addressing current global issues, there's a very strong environmental protection or environmental rescue, green, if you will, movement amongst many movements because, for instance, IFES groups in some South Pacific islands are watching their islands disappear under the waves. A fellow from one of the South Pacific islands was telling us that the water level then was about 6 inches below the highest spot of their island. The capital city of Guyana in South America has got huge seawalls. The ocean is almost over them. So they're concerned and they're active. And we've been doing some things to help there. And finally, engaging the university. I would say we're not doing a very good job of that in the U.S., and we're probably far ahead of most other movements in even thinking about it. How can we have the reality of Jesus Christ as Lord lived out by those who call him Lord? And then how can that help to make the university world a better place for human beings? It's not a very good place for the health of human beings now in most cases. So that's the vision. How can we be salt and light in the university world? That's the Living Stones vision, which they recommitted themselves to in the meeting in Malaysia and which they're trying to push around the world. I'd like to just give you a few stories and then we'll break to pray for some of these requests. We're pioneering all the time, trying to get new movements. We're pretty close to having a movement in Turkey. And when we say movement, it means they have come to one of our every 4-year international congresses, brought with them a constitution, a leadership team of student workers, and a board, and some financial viability. And when they present that, the delegates to this international conference consider it, pray about it, and then if they think they're healthy, invite them in as member movements. So Turkey and Malta may well be the next two movements that present themselves in the next World Assembly, which is next year, 2011. And one of the blessed things is interregional cooperation, which has been happening since IFE started. But two staff from Germany are now serving in Tajikistan. The regional secretary for South Asia is beginning to work in Myanmar, the old Burma, and trying to set up a new pioneer movement there. Seems to be some softening of the political atmosphere. The Indonesian movement calls itself Berkantis, and FES Singapore, Fellowship of Evangelical Students in Singapore, are exploring the possibility of pioneering student ministry in East Timor, if you remember that being in the news a few years ago. So this interaction, and of course China is the big story. No one's talking, but apparently there are tens of thousands of students meeting together in Bible study and prayer cells all over China. When that's going to break open, either in severe persecution or more freedom, nobody really knows. But there are IFES people circulating through all the time. One of the men who was there has the initials of his name, CCP, which everyone pointed out meant Chinese Communist Party. He thought that was very funny. But he's in there all the time, and he told us in Beijing, one of the government officials who is a Christian said to him, look, there are no underground churches in China. We know every one of them. There are simply registered churches or unregistered. The government knows about all these pseudonyms, but somehow the hand of God is letting them flourish. Now, in some regions, the local government gives their life awful persecution. In others, they're free to do amazing things. There are seminaries flourishing in parts of China. So everyone is watching what God is going to do in China, but that's certainly an element of praise. The Middle East, North Africa, which we call MENA, M-E-N-A, if you think about it, has had some amazing things. There are now student movements, not all of them recognized because they don't have some of the other structure, but Jamil Shabu, I think, may even have been here after Urbana one time. He's the regional secretary for North Africa and Middle East. There are movements in Algeria, Tunisia, Morocco. Of course, Lebanon is doing pretty well. Syria, one is happening. In Palestine for Palestinians, non-Jewish, and a Jewish movement inside Israel, Jewish Christian. And Egypt and some of our own people, you know, are working in the United Arab Emirates. So in North Africa, Middle East, there's lots of stuff happening that we can thank God for. I wanted to report a little bit about Eurasia. The General Secretary put together a report on what's happening in all the Eurasian countries. And this is a list of the Eurasian countries where things are going on. And here's an age of the movement. This will blow your mind. Armenia, 11 years ago it started. Azerbaijan, 12 years ago it started. Belarus, 19 years ago it started. Georgia, 13 years. Kazakhstan, 11 years. The Koreans, it turns out, have been doing amazing evangelistic work in the five stands and in other parts. They're sturdy. They don't mind difficult circumstances. The churches pray for them, support them. It's a wonderful kind of a thing to see. So in Eurasia, all sorts of excellent things are happening. And in East Asia, they're pioneering student work in Cambodia and Laos, which have so far been very hostile to the Christian faith. Even in Vietnam, there's freer movement in South Vietnam, as you might expect, but there are some student groups in northern part of Vietnam. So we're keeping our eyes on the whole world, but God is doing amazing things. This week with these folks, for me, was just an astounding. I remember praying for IFES when I was a student in the mid-50s. Small, struggling movements that disappeared and appeared and disappeared as went on. Now look at it, 155 nations and growing. God has blessed it exceedingly. Well, I recommend to you a lot of prayer, some financial support, if you will, to IFES. And if you'll put up the slide, I think we'll break up into groups and pray for these requests. I wanted to point out, you all know that in 2010, October, the Lausanne International Conference will occur in South Africa. Have you ever gone through a list, it's on the web, of the leadership. Almost every leadership position is a former IFES leader. Almost everyone, with the exception of the U.S. contribution, but all the others, because God has placed his hand on IFES to raise up young men and women who have the gifts of leading his body, and they're at Lausanne doing wonderful things. Thank God for the growth of IFES over the years, and here are some requests. IFES is joining the British movement, Universities and Colleges Christian Fellowship, which was up in Leicester, up in the north. They're moving to Oxford, and they're joining in the same building with IFES. They're taking over a Roman Catholic monastic establishment for women that had been a school on a lovely building, Victorian building, up the Banbury Road. They need 3.2 million, some number like that, and that's pounds. So, I mean, that's a lot of money, 5 million or something like that. So pray for funds for that. 2011 is a World Assembly. It's happening in Poland. They figure that to operate in Poland, it's going to cost about $1,000 per delegate. Very, very few movements have that kind of money. So we need vast sources of funding. Probably most of the world can get visas, though there will be some little tricky places in some places. But please pray for the World Assembly funds and getting adequate visas. And finally, there are some places where things are very difficult. Paraguay, Daniel and Gaina Salinas, I think, may have been here. Daniel did a PhD at Trinity down in Northfield, or in northern Chicago. They've been there, I think, 3 or 4 years, and they're not sure whether they want to stay because it's been so difficult. It's a very, very secular, anti-Christian nation, so pray for Paraguay. Syria, we have lots of young people, but the pastors don't want them to join with young people from other churches. The pastors are holding on to them, and so the student movement just can't get beyond that barrier. Pray that God will open the pastors' eyes. Of course, Palestine and Israel, they try to meet once a year across their divide, but it's a struggle on both sides. And pray for those parts of China where the student work is still under suspicion. So could we break up into small groups and pray for 5 or so minutes, and I'll close. Maybe pray with 3 people near you, 3 or 4 near you.